Right, hi everyone. I'm Damon Lim, Regional Director Asia Pacific from Data Center Hawk. I'm very excited today to have Walt Coulson from Green Square DC joining us from Sydney, Australia. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Damon, mate. Thank you very much for your kind invitation.
Hey, Walt. So how have things been since I last saw you in Sydney and Singapore? Great sharings and discussions there, by the way.
Yeah, no, thank you, mate. It was really great to catch up. Look, I guess in one word, busy. A lot on. I think anytime you're starting a foundational business, you're busy anyway, right? There's always lots going on. But I think that really compounded with the changes we're seeing in the industry, but more specifically in that elevated compute segment of the industry has just made this year in particular a very interesting a challenge, but a very exhilarating year as well. You know, it's certainly this new market segment is a really interesting one, and interestingly enough, it's one that we were created the business to serve, albeit when we created the business, we didn't know this segment was really going to be there. So it's interesting how things play out.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get a bit into that later in this segment. Right. So for our global audience, could you share a bit about yourself and Green Square DC?
Yeah, for sure, Damon. So Walt Coulson, founder and CEO of Green Square DC. We are a new entrant in the data center market. Very much focused on the more sustainable and higher density data center sort of market, and very much targeted towards this new and really exciting GPU enabled data center segment that's really just taken shape in this last 12 months.
So Walt, with Sydney being the key economic center of Australia with almost 700 megawatts of live capacity and another more than a gigawatt of new capacity being lined up, why did you decide to build your 96 megawatts campus in Perth?
Good question, Damon. Good question. Look, we did a fair bit of research before making that move into Perth, and it's multifaceted as to why. Absolutely, Sydney has been the dominant market in Australia, and it's amazing the growth that it's had. You know, if you go back to 2016 or 17, it really wasn't much of a market. And then some really good operators here, and then hyperscalers coming as well. It's really, I think now it's the sixth biggest market in the world, I think, and Melbourne is really growing as well at a rate of knots. Our decision to invest into Perth, even though Perth is still very much an emerging market, is primarily, but not only, because of its really unique power pricing. It has really some of the cheapest power on earth. So we went and got, in March this year, we went and got a group called Precinct. They're a bunch of really smart ex-GE guys. And we got them to benchmark the top 10 global data center markets and sort of average out over a year their average per megawatt, you know, power pricing. And then we sort of overlaid Perth into that. And like staggering, the difference in pricing around the globe, Germany is really expensive. So on average, Perth was about 320% cheaper than the mean average. So we're not just talking about like, it's just like a little bit cheaper. It's a lot cheaper. And then if you actually have a look at then the difference, and this is again, just done at margin, pricing is fluid. Pricing globally fluctuates quite a bit. It fluctuates less in Perth, which is another reason we like it. It's a very stable market because of its gas reservation policy, which is really interesting. It's the big reason why the power is so cheap and so stable. Sydney was about 56% more expensive. So Sydney is one of the cheap ones if you look in the global, in the global market of the top 10. And even that 56%, if you're operating a data center at full tilt, like let's say ours, if it's all of a sudden magically built and operating at full scale at 96 megawatts, that's about a $55 million per annum saving in power
that
goes direct to your customer's bottom line. So again, we're not just talking about, you know, a few bucks here or there. We're talking about really substantial savings. So that's the primary one. The other ones, we really like its proximity to Southeast Asia. We really like its connectivity into Southeast Asia. You know, there's five subsea cables. One comes across to the East Coast, which is good. That's actually being upgraded as we speak, as I understand it, with Focus. And there's some other ones, you know, and the other ones, you know, going direct into Singapore. Perth, and it, primarily because of its proximity, has half the latency speed into Singapore than Sydney, than the East Coast, which of course makes sense. And it's really well connected. You know, there's 4 billion eyeballs that make up that sort of APAC region, right? Perth's on the same time zone or a similar time zone to around 60% of the world's population. As well as that, there's an abundance of land for data center development, but also for renewables. So renewables, obviously, moving forward is going to play a bigger and bigger factor, more than most people realize. So there's a bunch of factors there that we really like that we think, and we're not the only ones that think this too, Damon, that Perth has great fundamentals to be a really serious data center market. Yes, it's still emerging, but and another part of our logic and reasoning was we'd rather be ahead of the market in a place like Perth than come and sort of just join the queue in Sydney and grab, you know, a chunk of land out in Western Sydney and sit in line. You know what I mean? So bunch of reasons, but you know, we made the decision way back when, and we stick by it, and we're still really happy with it.
That's great to hear. And earlier you mentioned about legislation related to, you know, green energy, and you mentioned a little bit about sustainability within Perth as well. Do you want to share more about your plans around sustainability for your campus?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When we first sort of started that project and our mission and what we're about, you know, we heard from a lot of people that, yeah, you can have all this sustainability stuff, but it's going to cost too much, and why would you bother, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, and you take that on board, of course, and that's a challenge. Anytime anything's new, it's easy to, you know, deflect and make assumptions and stuff like that. When you look at, so one of our fundamental things is, you know, we're in the elevated compute segment of the market that not everyone's going to be, and it's only going to be a segment of the market. And when you're talking about the densities that we're now sort of designed to, it shrinks your data hall significantly. So when your data hall shrinks, now the rest is Mechalec and that kind of stuff, that stays the same size, of course, but it really has a huge impact. And that impact, I'll give you an example, and this keeps changing because densities keep changing. This is the year we've had, but you know, we're now at a stage that our 96 megawatt building envelope to achieve that 96 megawatts, we started off with a planning permit approval for 96 megawatts as a traditional air-cooled, you know, traditional data center. And it was a very big building, like nearly 70,000 square meters or 700,000 square feet in total building envelope, very big and bulky, you know, 35 meters in height, you know, sort of five levels of 7 meters floor to floor. What we're at now is we're at a building footprint for the same capacity, 96 megawatts, of around 25,000 square meters or 250,000 square feet. So that is a significant reduction. And in that, not only is it save $1 million in construction, saves time in delivery, which is great because that's money as well, as we know. There's about 1 million tons of embodied carbon that's saved out of that, right? And then because you're doing that, and if you're in these kind of levels of densities, you're primarily talking about liquid cooling, right? The efficiencies that come out of liquid cooling are 20 to 30 to plus percent more efficient with power. So that's savings, but it's also there is significant carbon emission savings there too. So sort of straight away by leaning into the density side of things, you are actually helping on the sustainability side of things. Again, when you're talking primarily liquid cooling, they tend to be a closed loop system, and so we've created a five pillars to sustainability. That's our sort of there are guiding principles when it comes to design, and that's what our design brief is designed to. And don't get me wrong, net zero is not you can't click your fingers and get there tomorrow. So we're not saying that. It's not if it was that simple, everyone would be doing it, right? But our five pillars to sustainability. You know, we challenge ourselves to not have any wastewater and have a stretch goal to be water positive. So, you know, that traditional data center that we had approved in summertime, that could be burning through 10 million litres of water a day if done with the evaporative cooling and connected to the traditional grid, you know, and all those kind of things. So we're not looking to have any wastewater, and ideally where we can, and we're very close to being water positive, which, and I think that whole water challenge is, you know, kind of like one of the next big battlegrounds, unless there's changes made to the industry, you know. What else? Renewables. We've gone and got 3,000 hectares of land, which is a big parcel of land, just to the east of Perth, where it's very windy and very sunny. We're looking to have, or at least be involved in the creation of, that's proposed to be a 300 megawatt wind and solar farm we're now in planning on. And what we want to be a net positive energy consumer. We want to be, if we've got a 100 megawatt data center, we want to be involved in the creation of more renewable power than that and have a direct sort of, you know, PPA. We can see already, we kind of think as we go along, we think power will be at such a premium as we convert from our traditional, you know, fossil fuel energy generation, you know, coal and gas power stations, to variable renewables, and the world electrifies and we have more electric cars and all the things that go with it. We think power will be at a real premium, and we kind of think there's the real potential that renewable energy and renewable energy projects and the PPAs that we have traditionally sort of gone and bought, they might be prioritised for other uses. They might be prioritised for schools and hospitals and homes and things like that ahead of data centres. We've already seen examples of that already in the Northern Hemisphere and Europe. So we're trying to get ahead of that. We want to be sort of involved in the creation of that direct renewable energy where we can. You might move into some markets where you can't, right? It's not a hard and fast, but wherever we can, and in a place like Western Australia, you absolutely can. It is absolutely achievable. It's absolutely doable. So that's another important element for us. When you build from the ground up, foundationally, you can absolutely have a more efficient and more sustainable data center. You've always got to have that resiliency factor, number one, but you can build a far more, you know, a data center has a vastly reduced environmental footprint.
So the renewable farm that you mentioned earlier, that's fully available to your clients in the data center as well?
Once it's approved and built, you got to never forget that. But that is certainly the idea. It's always been to support WAI1. Yeah.
Got it. So you've spoken quite a bit about generative AI in the past. Could you share thoughts about how this will change the future of data center designs? I think you mentioned a little bit about it earlier, and how it differs from, you know, existing data centers serving the market.
Yeah. Well, and again, we're pretty early in. It's only the first innings, right? Like this was, I think, before this time last year, it was a niche kind of thing. Now it's mainstream. Our view and the designs we've done, and even, you know, we had a bit of a study tour to North America recently, which was great, very enlightening. We actually went and saw, you know, in real time, some data centers that have been designed and built to, you know, fully GPU enabled. So we've actually seen the difference, as well as, you know, as well as all the other work we've been doing with our partners and all that kind of stuff. So from the outside, they will look similar, albeit a GPU enabled data center has the ability to be much smaller for the same level of capacity, which we've already touched on. But really, internally, it really all changes. If you want to be at these kind of levels of densities that are for sort of 45 kilowatts a rack and plus, you know, 75, yep, 100, then the cooling infrastructure is completely different. The design architecture, the networking is all completely different. Even what's in the servers, there's obviously more GPUs. That's not to say there's not CPUs in there too. Of course there are. But it really is, it's a different level of you know, a data center really fundamentally is power in and heat out, right? There's just more power going in and more heat to come out. And so there's just more to handle, which therefore necessitates the changes. And it sounds easy, but, you know, even to find the engineers out there that have the experience of designing these things at scale, that's a challenge. There's, you know, there's challenges. There's many challenges out there. That's just one of them, right? But they really are they're a bit of a different beast. And again, I stress that it doesn't mean that every data center being built is going to be this, or they all have to be converted. There's plenty of workloads just for traditional, you know, traditional compute, traditional cloud-based data centers. This is just a new market segment. But that's the interesting part. It's sort of an add-on. And as we know, the market was already pretty busy before this. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, continuing along the thread of exciting, you mentioned, I've heard a lot about the exciting technology being used in Perth. Earlier, you mentioned the wind and solar farm. Anything else you could give us a glimpse of?
Look, we are... there's a supercomputer there that's been operating for around 10 years called the Pawsey supercomputer. It is the apparently the most powerful supercomputer in the Southern Hemisphere, and it's the fourth greenest supercomputer on Earth, according to an award it won early this year. It's owned and operated by CSIRO, who is a Australian-based organisation that's government-funded and typically full of smart people doing smart things. Its cooling solution, and it's sort of derived from they didn't want to burn through any water either in their cooling. They wanted to have a cooling solution that was wastewater free and probably water positive. So they come up with a groundwater cooling loop. There's a series of large aquifers, you know, Grand Canyon's full of water that's gradually shifting towards the ocean as well. Beneath both the Pawsey supercomputer and our site in Perth. So one of the things we're examining really closely is the ability for us to have a similar groundwater cooling loop, or a aquifer free cooling, as we call it.
Interesting.
Exactly. And again, you know, Pawsey is a legitimate supercomputer and it's been doing a good job, and it's won plenty of awards and has plenty of recognition. And, you know, a big part of the reason why it's the fourth greenest supercomputer on Earth is because of that cooling solution, albeit not the only reason. So that's one of the things that we think is really exciting. We need to still just make sure that it's that it's appropriate for this level of scale. You know, we've got a different level of scale than Pawsey. So that's just one of the things we're just going through and just making sure that is the case. Other than that, we're just excited. We're really excited about the scale that we'll be able to deliver the same level of computing. It's interesting, on a plan, you know, we have, it's two 48 megawatt buildings, and we've kept the day two or stage two 48 megawatt building as the original approved envelope, which is the really big one. But day one, we're now working towards this vastly reduced building envelope. And even just how it looks on a page, it's two really different things. Like our revised plan and scheme is two levels, not five levels. So it's remarkably different. And we really look forward to being able to demonstrate to the market that you can have enhanced sustainability, enhanced resilience, and enhanced density, as well as having cost efficiencies. You know, not only the CapEx and OpEx and TCO throughout the life cycle, whether you're the data center owner or the customer. We think that's really, you know, that's something that is not well understood. There probably hasn't been too many examples of that. We look forward to that. There's certainly plenty of talk about it, the theory of it, but the practice is that's where the rubber hits the road, right? So we're really excited about that. We think that's going to be really compelling. And again, they're not just little differences. They're significant differences. So we're excited about all of it.
You mentioned a redesign for the first building. Does that mean you've already got customers committed to it?
Look, we've been working through the design so much. Really, we've spent the last, well, it's over a year on the design. And the design, you know, when you're in this GPU-enabled space, it's really been a year of change, right? So really been working on our engineering and our team building and even our pipeline too, right? And until we get those things right or until we had those things right, we haven't really had to worry too much, right? You haven't really got too much to sell. So we're just coming out of that now, which is great. We've locked in on a design, which is great. So yeah, look, we've already got strong interests and wires and things like that that we're now working through. So yeah, it's exciting.
So what do you think the data center industry looks like 5 years from now?
Good question, Damon. I mean, in many ways, look, in some ways it'll look the same. It'll be bigger. I think there'll be two market segments. I think there will be traditional sort of cloud computers as we've known it.
Yeah,
I still envisage that is still going to be the dominant market. I think there's more workloads for that, really. I think there'll be a distinct this new market segment, which is this GPU enabled segment, and it'll be interesting to see just how big, just how diverse that is and just how that plays out, of course. I do think sustainability will be more important. And I think there'll be more legislation and I think there'll be more financiers out there sort of demanding that of, and sort of at both ends of the delivery of the data center, but also on the customer side as well. I think there'll be, the expectations will be different, but we're already seeing that. Power is the elephant in the room. I think that's going to continue to be a challenge for everyone. You know, there's huge demand and relatively limited supply, and what we're seeing around the world is that its power is a real challenge. And it's interesting, at the time where our demand is going to be skyrocketing, the utilities of the world are then dealing at the same time with the transition from how we've, you know, powered our grids historically to all these, you know, to variable renewables, and that's two completely different things. So there's a real challenge there, and that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know what I mean? It, we're all in that together, right? We've all got to try and work on that together. And I kind of think we'll be more, I think data centers will be held a bit more to account. I think we'll be a bit more accountable for our energy consumption, and if we still have a really big environmental footprint, and if we are not seen to be doing things right. I know we're all really trying really hard, but I think there'll be more accountability out there too, and that might end in taxes and different things and Senate inquiries and all these kind of uncomfortable things. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, which is why it's great to see that Green Square DC is getting ahead of some of these challenges.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's not easy, and it doesn't mean we'll be shielded from it. But I think, I'd rather try and protect your business and your customers and investors, no doubt, at this stage for sure.
Thanks, Walt. So, lastly, you know, if you could tell us about the challenge of developing capacity in Perth, and how Green Square DC is uniquely suited to address that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Perth's a fantastic place to do business. It's a pretty open for business location. We've done lots of business around the country, and it's one of the more friendly areas, which is great. But you know, your utilities are still a challenge, and they're going through the same issues that all utilities are around the world that we've just touched on, Damon. But I just think we're probably just excited about its inherent advantages, and it's almost unfair advantages, especially with that power piece, right? That power pricing is formidable, and we kind of think it's been a pretty well kept secret. You know, a lot of decisions still get made in the Northern Hemisphere. And I'd imagine there'd be lots of people in the Northern Hemisphere that are blissfully unaware of some of those sort of real benefits that places like Western Australia have with their power pricing competitiveness and availability of renewables and connectivity into huge, you know, rapidly digitalizing populations, which is pretty much Southeast Asia, right? So, No, we're excited, and look, we're also active on the East Coast as well, with projects in Sydney, and Melbourne as well. They're more brownfield projects, a bit of a speed to marketplace. So,
That's good to know.
No, it's I don't think we'll be sort of a one trick pony as far as one project, but again, it's all really exciting. It's all there to be done.
Walt, appreciate your time today and look forward to catch up with you again in the future and to see your projects in person.